Good morning. I am the clinical director at the Memory Evaluation Center at Mount Sinai in Manhattan. And as well, I visit patients at the Atria in Kew Gardens. It's an assisted living. At Mount Sinai in the memory department, what we expertly do, thank you, is to assess people who are elderly. All of our senior citizens are of interest to us. Those who are aging well. What? A little louder. Thank you. At Mount Sinai, we're very interested in helping people who are elderly. In our entire geriatrics department, we have a geriatric psychiatry department as well as a geriatric medicine department. And all of the elderly who are aging well are of great interest to us because we want to see what you're doing so well and how you're doing well, how your memory is keeping up, how your health is maintained. And the people who do have memory problems are of interest to us also. And this is why we have our Memory Evaluation Center, where we can assess the strengths and weaknesses of people's memory and see how they're functioning in their community. In particular, the healthy aging part is looking at older people who are doing just fine in their community and their memories are fine and there's no problem in going to the synagogue, there's no problem in going shopping and seeing family and participating in all the activities, traveling. We're very interested in how you're able to do that. So there's simple questionnaires and interviews and examinations by the physicians that are available to you if you'd like to participate in such a program. The good side is that this program won't make you sick. Now, for people who already do think that they have a memory problem, we're also very interested in helping you clarify what that is. And we're very careful to figure out what is normal aging memory problems and what could be a disease, as the good doctor's been talking about. So that fine line is something that we explore very carefully, and this is what we do best. Our team consists of psychiatrists, medical doctors, a neurologist, social workers, nurse practitioners. And all of these clinicians work together to figure out what's a normal aging memory problem and what could be a disease. But let's think about the diseases, because the doctor before spoke about a particular one, Alzheimer's disease. That's something that people think is very scary, and that might be something that we're seeing more and more. The stigma of having a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease is one of fear. It's like something that we really don't want to talk about, like cancer. It's different than a fear or stigma of depression, where people think, well, depressed, you're not doing enough for yourself, go out, do things, you're weak, you've done something bad. We don't think that way about Alzheimer's disease. And yet, memory problems happen in both those conditions. So this is one of the things I mean about being very careful about diagnosing the memory problem. Because sometimes as we grow older, we can just feel a little bit down. And being down is not normal either. It's not just because you're older that you should be depressed.
Are we okay? Louder?
Even louder. I want everybody to hear this message because this is the most important part. Thank you. We don't want people who are older to think it's normal for me to be down, it's normal for me to forget things. Because in the population of older people, yes, there might be 40% of people who are over 85 who really have a memory problem like Alzheimer's disease. But that means there's 60% who don't have anything. Over 85. 40% over 85. It becomes like an epidemic having memory problems. That still means that 80 of the people, 60% are doing just fine. So those are the healthy aging population. So, having depression is a bad thing that we can help fix. And we can help clarify with depression what you're suffering from that makes your memory not look so good. And there are medications and treatments for depression. You can have therapy, you can take medication to feel better. Sometimes the memory problem persists even after being treated for depression. And we can investigate that further. The psychologists who work with us on the team do special memory testing to assess the strengths and the weaknesses of your memory. This is a pen and paper test like sending you back to school, and it takes hours. But all these hours are necessary so that they can tell really what you're good at and what you're not so good at. Sometimes people remember better if you just say things to them instead of thinking that they can read something and remember it like that. So maybe auditory learning is filled in and visual learning is not so good. The other very important part of the assessment is laboratory tests, because sometimes people are running down on their energy and they can't remember so well because they've got thyroid problems. So an easy thyroid test is something that doctors do frequently for you. And even if it was fine 10 years ago, maybe now it's not so good. Blood sugar, some people get diabetes in later age. If your blood sugar is too high or too low, you could feel differently and your memory could be affected as well. Very important to control your blood pressure and your cholesterol also. The other important test that we check for, vitamin B12. Who knew? But a vitamin can affect your brain coverage, the linings of your neurons. And if that goes a little too low, then you're not thinking as clearly. And B12 deficiency can give people signs of dementia or signs of depression. So those are tests that we check for. Folate deficiency, another kind of vitamin. These little things that you can just take a supplement for, an injection, could help you tremendously. So these are some of the medical conditions. There are many more. When we talk about dementia, it's kind of like a headache. It's like, okay, what caused it? And this headache of dementia can be caused by a myriad of medical problems. At least 60 things can be medically related to you and causing you this memory problem. So, what if it's not this memory problem related to medical problems? Thank you. What if it really is a primary brain problem that's causing you to lose your memory? Sometimes these brain problems are reversible, like the medical problems we talked about, and sometimes they're irreversible. Sometimes you can have a stroke, and the stroke doesn't get better, or at least it doesn't get better completely. Sometimes people have Alzheimer's disease. Sometimes people can have tiny strokes and Alzheimer's disease. What is this Alzheimer's disease? You've heard a lot about it in some ways, and still it remains a mystery. Sometimes it comes on kind of surprisingly. Sometimes people in the family have had it, so you kind of think that you might get it too. We're still studying, and lots of research is being done on the actual nature of the illness. We have some answers, but the tiny answers that we're coming up with are not going to be very helpful to you in living with it and coping with it. We have some answers as to how to help manage it, how to keep people healthier for longer, and that's particularly attractive. We know now, in terms of treatment for Alzheimer's, that this is the only irreversible progressive memory loss and functional impairment, dementia, that we have a treatment for. It can keep people as good as they are for longer. Studies have also looked at how to keep people from getting it, because sometimes it just happens sporadically. And how to keep people from getting it has been studied in women with estrogen, and it's been shown that estrogen helps women before they get the illness. Once they get the illness, it's not so good anymore. Antioxidants, like vitamin E, anti-inflammatories, like Advil, these things help also, mostly before you get the illness. But we recommend actually vitamin E even after people have signs of the illness, because it's been shown to help keep people better for longer. And vitamin E is available in the pharmacies in 400 units and thousands. So it's available, people can take it, and it doesn't really affect the system. Sometimes it interacts with Coumadin, so that would be the only caveat I would say. Don't take it if you're taking Coumadin. And then there are the medicines that are specifically for the brain problem of Alzheimer's disease that target low neurotransmitters, low chemicals in the brain. And these medicines are also available, and sometimes they're expensive, but they're ways of moderating the costs. You may have heard of Paracet. You may have heard of Exelon, and there's a new one now called Retinol. And these medicines act by increasing the amount of these neurotransmitters, the brain chemicals in the brain. By keeping the chemicals around, we hope that people can keep thinking clearly, and it helps decrease their behavioral disturbance, because sometimes people get agitated, or paranoid, or irritable, or even negative. They don't want the help that they're providing. These medications, they're not going to be the complete cure. You're not going to keep people there forever. You're not going to get rid of the Alzheimer's with these medications. But it keeps people better for longer. It buys back time. Because the course of Alzheimer's involves losing your thinking abilities, losing your ability to function, and doing the small things that we take for granted now. And then it involves also agitation and withdrawal from society. This downward curve, this progression of losing yourself and the things that you're interested in, takes many years, actually. So that's the good news, in some ways, in that even if you were diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it's not the end tomorrow. It's the end in a few years. So to keep you as you are and happier and help you with your family for longer, these medicines help prolong your healthy time. And they prolong it by a year and a half, 2 years. And 2 years of being healthier, and then inevitably there's decline of the longer time, years after that. 2 years of staying with your family and being happier and healthier is better than none. So with that in mind, your family and you have many different needs when you have problems with your memory. The needs and the tolerance for older people who have problems with their memory change. And so maybe my colleague Elizabeth Fine will talk to you about this program we have for caregivers, where the patients and the caregivers participate and learn about not only the illness, but how to cope. And the other very important thing is that I know that every family who has a person with a memory problem, an older person, feels alone because they're alone in the family and they're coping. But in these kind of programs where you can get together, you'll meet other families who are coping with it too. And you can trade tips on how to deal with things, and you can learn different skills from each other. There's an association called Alzheimer's Association that helps anybody who's got any kind of memory problem. And there's lots of information regarding Alzheimer's disease, clearly, but it has a lot of information about supporting caregivers. And in fact, the drug companies and pharmaceutical companies who put out these medications also develop supportive network plans that you can participate in also. It doesn't mean that if you give them your information to mail you things that they will exploit you or they will ask you for things. But on the contrary, they're trying to support and promote more education about this illness and about the things that are available for families. At this point, I think I will give the floor to Elizabeth Klein, the director of our Caregivers Program and Information Transfer Corps. We have brought for you some brochures about the caregiver program and about our Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. The nice thing about this research center is that it studies not only people who have the memory problem, medications that can be added to the standard memory problem meds, but also programs for people who are aging healthy. So you're welcome to give us a call, find out more about these programs, and if you have any other questions, I'm sure we can talk about them at the end. But also our phone numbers are listed so that you can always give us a call privately. Sometimes things are too difficult to discuss in public. Thanks very much.